wasn't prepared to do that. Especially details about myself. That's the hardest ones. I don't mind telling details on everybody else. All right, Romans chapter 5. We've been talking about this truth for 2 or 3 weeks now. Concerning the elect of God, remember that we, and I don't just say those people, I say we. Because I am persuaded that we here as a group are the elect of God. Remember that we were just like all the rest of mankind by nature.
Yes, sir.
That is, we are just as fallen as the reprobate is. I've mentioned it. Earl's mentioned. Others have mentioned it. There is the elect, and there are the elect. And that's the proper way. And there are the reprobate.
Yep. That's it.
But the elect are born with the same condition as the reprobate.
Yes, sir.
My Adamic nature is a reprobate nature.
Amen.
This is born out from the fact that God will never change that nature. It'll simply, David, have to be done away with. This corruptible must put on what? Incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Remember, I said that we were judged. First of all, we were judged and condemned to a fallen state in the one sin of our father Adam. And there's all kinds of phrases men have come up with, but this is a legal or judicial condemnation. God declared all men and women as sinners by Adam's one sin.
Yeah.
You see, I didn't even have to be born yet. I was declared to be a sinner way back yonder when Adam sinned.
Yeah.
Right? By one man's disobedience, many, notice it doesn't say shall be made sinners, but what were?
Yeah.
Past tense, were made sinners.
Yes, sir.
Now, the state of mankind, the all of mankind, whether elect or reprobate, is the truth.
Yes.
I mean, this actual state, this fallen, condemned state, it's the truth. But it's not necessarily a pleasant truth. But remember, I gave us two reasons why we need to be constantly reminded of this truth. One, it is seeing what we really are by nature magnifies and exalts the reality of the grace of God in Christ. You see, the lower you put man, or I should say the truth of it, the lower the Scripture puts man,
yes,
the higher it exalts God.
Exactly. Yep.
But human religion attempts to bring man up somewhat.
Yeah.
Some more than others, I understand that. I mean, some go all the way just to say, actually, we're good people. You know, I mean, there are some religions that teach that. I mean, you see it on TV, well, he's got a good heart.
Yeah.
Or he's basically a good person. That's the one thing he's not. Well, he don't have that and he ain't that.
Exactly.
You know? Compare him to another man, maybe.
Yeah.
But not compared to God.
Exactly.
Not compared to reality.
Yeah.
So we were condemned, condemned in Adam to this fallen state, but this magnifies the grace of God. And we've seen that, right? In the last two verses of chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Remember, so we have Adamic sin, okay? One is an Adamic sin, Adamic condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have sins against the law added on top of this, right?
Yeah.
The law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, what does it say?
Amen.
Grace did much more abound.
Amen.
So the higher I try to exalt man, what's that naturally then, or logically is a better word, what's that logically then going to do? It's going to attempt to bring God down lower.
Oh, yeah.
Because if I'm not as bad, it don't take as good a grace.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's it.
This is why you have some people, and this is a common fallacy in our day. You have these people that think grace is a tit for tat thing. Now, I've mentioned that. But, you know, in other words, God will do his part if you do your part. And, of course, God's part's bigger than your part. Right? And he does the most of it. You know, now, and one, I forget his name. It's not Whitfield, but one of the others, one of the brothers, Wesley, one of John, I think it was, said that salvation, grace, and faith is all this summed up. Grace is 95%. That's God's part, and faith is our part. That's our 5%. He even wrote that. Now, where that come from the book, I don't know. You know, I don't see any percentages other than this. But of God, are you in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
It's all 100% God.
Exactly.
So again, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. See, that's the one thing. It's contrary to what religion teaches. That's the one thing that cannot keep the elect out of heaven.
Yeah.
Is sin.
That's right.
And that's what everybody wants. Well, sin will keep you out of heaven. That's the one thing that can't.
Exactly.
Because where sin abounds, grace does what? It goes even over and above.
Amen.
You see that? There is nothing that will keep the elect out of heaven.
Amen.
You know? Look, that as sin hath reigned unto death.
Yes.
Even so might grace reign. And that word might does not have to do with, as we see sometimes in English, possibility.
Might or might
not. Right. It's not that. That's not the sense in which it's used. It's talking about permission. Right.
Yeah.
Okay? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by. Now here's source.
Yeah.
By what? Now, you got all kinds of answers.
Oh, yeah.
Faith, repentance, church membership, a mixture of all those, whatever. Good works. But it's by, what is it that guarantees this? It's by Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You see, if he obeyed on my behalf, I shall be made righteous. Ain't that what the preceding verse says? Verse 19. So as we begin to consider our fallen state, we begin, the more we look at our fallen state, the more then we are forced to look to the excellency and the majesty and the glory of God's grace.
Amen.
This is why because men don't see this. They don't see the truth. This is why you have people, I heard the one, a radio broadcast, it's Oliver B. Green's broadcast, it's his son on it now. Oliver B. Green's still doing, they're having preaching, you know, playing his tapes, but his son always has the announcements or whatever. Now here's the mindset of so-called Christianity today. Send us a $20 donation and we'll give you this free gift.
That's exactly what they said.
That was his words.
Yes, sir.
You send us a $20 donation, we'll give you this free gift. And if it wasn't for the cost of a stamp, I would have wrote them and said, hey, it's a free gift. I want the gift. I'm not giving you anything.
That's exactly right.
See, because you know, it's not a free gift if I have to give at least
$20. Exactly.
Right? Why don't they just see that? But that's their conception of grace. That's their conception of free gift.
Yes, sir.
Tit for tat.
Yeah.
Got to do his part if you do your part.
That's exactly it.
Now, here's the glory. God did his part.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen.
Amen.
God's people shall be made righteous.
Amen.
And somebody said, well, and it'll happen. There'll be this great change. Well, there will be, but you might not see it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
You think about this. I think me and Joe talked even about this. Go back and look at some of those people in the Old Testament. Go back and look at Abraham. Abraham could be a scoundrel. Did you know that? Getting his wife to lie for him just because he was afraid of his own life.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Twice.
Exactly.
With all the trouble that happened the first time, you thought he would have learned his lesson. Wait a minute, I thought he believed God.
Yeah.
I thought he was strong in faith. He was, but he was also still in Adam too.
Yeah.
He's also still flesh. He also still had that Adamic nature.
Yes, sir.
And the problem is, he can go look at David the king.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is said, Here is a man, God said it, here is a man after my own heart.
Yes, sir.
And we could go over some despicable things that that man did.
Yes, sir.
You know? Well, and here's even another one. Look at Lot. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't for the New Testament,
yeah,
it'd be hard for me to say Lot was a righteous man.
Exactly.
You know what?
Yeah.
Well, I know it shows us that God delivered, sent those angels down, and God delivered Lot out of that city, but
yeah,
think of this glorious deliverance, and then I'm not even going into it.
Yeah.
It's not even details you like to think about, let alone mention out loud. Look at what he did afterwards.
Yeah.
But far be it for me to point the finger and say, well, I know he can't be one, because he were one.
That's right.
Right? He's one of God's. And come hell or high water, Joe, he's God's. And come sin or come obedience, he's God's.
Amen. That's it.
And that's just the way it is. You know, somebody said, well, you give people license to sin. They got enough license. It's called an Adamic nature.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, that's the way we're born, you know.
Yes,
so the second one is that we were conceived and born into a sinful state.
Yes, sir.
You see, we're not just born neutral, but this judicial thing hangs over our heads. You see what I'm saying? It's not we were born innocent.
Yeah.
We were born into a sinful state.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's Psalms 51 and just the one verse for right now. And this is David. He says, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Now, that is, if you go back and look at these words, it basically, David's saying when everything was coming together,
yeah,
at the beginning,
yeah,
the sperm and the ovum, everything, I was shapen, how?
In iniquity.
As that, and I shudder to use the word fetus. Everybody says fetus today. It's a baby,
yeah,
you know. But as that baby began to grow, it grew how? In iniquity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me.
You know?
So we're not simply talking about being born neutral, but we've got this legal thing in Adam hanging over us.
Yeah.
We're actually born in a sinful state, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were, according to Psalms 58, verse 3, we were estranged from God from the womb.
Amen. That's it.
I got to give you this one. I think I mentioned it before. I was talking to a Baptist deacon one day about depravity.
Yeah.
And I quoted this verse. And his only answer to me was, well, you know babies can't talk.
Exactly.
Now, have you read the verse?
Yeah.
What did I say it was now? Psalms 58, verse 3. Look at what it says. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies.
Amen.
Now, it goes to show the way or the degree in which human nature, fallen human nature, what it will do to somehow at least push the truth of God to the side.
Oh, yeah.
The only answer was, well, you know babies can't talk.
Yeah.
Now, folks, that is nothing more than twisting the truth of God. Because you can zero in as soon as they be born speaking lies. That's not the part to zero in on. The part to zero in on is the wicked are what? Estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. And let me tell you what, a baby will lie.
Yes, sir.
Even before it can actually speak sentences. If you've ever had a child and you think it didn't lie, you're more deceived than the child is.
Amen.
And if you got a child, and I don't care how that child is, you think my child don't lie to me, you are deceiving yourselves. Man, that's just a fact. I know, you know, when you, what do they call it? I bent the truth a little. No. You know what that's called, don't you? You don't bend the truth. You either tell the truth or you tell a what? A lie. Have you ever exaggerated when you tell somebody something?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Come on now. You know what that is, don't you? We use the word. It sounds easier on us, don't we? We exaggerated. No, you know what we did, don't you? We lied. You know? I mean, unless you exaggerate for effect and let the person know, well, I just did that for effect, you've done what? You've lied. You know? Well, I caught that fish and it was that long. Lie. No, it says we are estranged from the womb. Just think of, but children are innocent. No, they are not. They are guilty.
Sir.
And I don't mean just legally. Personally.
Yeah.
Okay? They're not just sinners legally. They are that. But they are sinners literally.
Amen.
They care more about pleasure than they do God. Right?
Yep.
Now listen, as soon as a child begins to understand some distinction, Jay, between right and wrong, if that creature was in fact a good or righteous creature, that creature would begin to seek its creator.
Yes.
But they don't.
That's it.
They don't. We're conceived and born into a sinful state. We're estranged from God. From the womb, we went astray as soon as we were born.
Yes, sir.
And we spoke lies.
That's it.
Now, if a person wants to come up with well, I just don't see that. Well, that's your problem.
Exactly.
It's the problem.
Yeah.
And I've had people tell me that. I've had people who have been here before who are not here now. So I just don't see it that way.
Yeah.
And at the time, you're hoping for the best.
Yeah.
You know? Come to find out, they were right. They didn't see it that way.
Exactly.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
You know? See, you either see it as God sees it, or you're as God says it, or you're deceived.
Pretty much. That's it.
And when God says it, you don't go looking for the exception.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There may be one. You know, you understand? There may be an exception to the rule here or there.
Yeah.
But the reason we don't look for the exception to the rule to find the truth, we look for the exception to the rule to justify ourselves.
Exactly.
That can't be against me. No, it is.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
That's it.
That's why, I better just drop that right there. So remember, we're judged in Adam. We have this legal condemnation hanging over our heads.
Yeah.
But we also have a natural sinful, a literal sinful state ourselves.
Yes.
According to Scripture, we live lives contrary to God and in conformity to Satan.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is quite clear. And here he's speaking to the elect.
Yeah.
He's not just talking about the reprobate. He's talking about us.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever thought this? Now, I'm not saying everybody has to think this or thought this way, because I did one time. But I'm sure there's more people than me. I always used to justify my actions this way. Well, I'm not hurting anybody else.
Yeah.
If I'm hurting anybody, I'm just hurting me.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was deceived. That's a lie.
Exactly.
When you rebel against God, you harm everyone else around you as well.
That's true.
And that's right.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Because when God does judge a person, and I'm talking about even governmental judgment, not eternal judgment, but when God punishes someone in this life, you know, we reap what we sow.
Yes, sir.
And when that sowing comes, it affects everybody else connected with you. You know? There is no, well, I'm only doing this to myself. It's a lie we use to try to justify our sin.
Exactly.
The real problem is this, though. It's not why I'm just hurting myself. Or I'm, well, yeah, I hurt myself and my family. No, we've offended God.
Yes, sir.
That's the real problem.
That's it.
According to Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says, "And you hath he quickened," this is Ephesians 2, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, not dead to, dead in.
Yes, sir.
We were dead to truth.
Yeah.
We were dead to righteousness.
Yes, sir.
We were dead to obedience. But we were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now take the end, in here has the sense of in the realm of, as though you have a body of water and something is dunked down in the water, right?
Uh-huh.
That's where we were, dead in the water, dead in trespasses and sins. Everything surrounding us and about us had to do with what? Trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, ye what? What did we do? We walked.
Yes, sir.
This is the way we walked. This is the way we conducted ourselves.
That's exactly.
Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, don't you see that today?
Yes, sir.
Conformity to, well, everybody else is doing it this way. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you remember, many there be that's on that broad road.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And you remember where that broad road leads to, don't you?
Yes,
sir. Destruction. And sometimes God, listen, some even after he quickens you, sometimes he's got to teach you this the hard way.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
Quit walking in the course of this world.
Yeah, that's it.
And you can use all kinds of excuses to justify it.
Right.
But if you're one of God's, eventually he'll show it to you. And the sad part is, along with that lesson comes some hard, felt chastisement.
Yes, sir. That's it.
You know, it's sad that we're so, I'm serious, that we're so dull of hearing.
Yeah.
That we can't just hear it from the Word and say, hey, that's the path I need to walk in.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the path I need to avoid.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
We try, and I remember Earl saying this years ago, we try to walk as close to the edge of the pit as we can, just so long as we don't fall in. Right?
Yeah.
Rather than just avoiding the pit as far as we can, we try to cozy up to it just as close as we can. Just don't fall in.
Yeah, that's it.
The problem is you got other people around you.
Yes, sir.
And somebody's going to fall in the pit.
Yeah.
Somebody will.
Yeah.
Somebody will. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, when before we were quickened, we were controlled by Satan.
Yep, that's it.
Right?
Yeah.
We were controlled by Satan.
Yes, sir.
We were demonic possessed.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And it doesn't have to manifest itself as we see in some New Testament examples by a personal infestation of a demon.
No.
Now that did occur.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose it does still occur.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you have some people like they are. Okay? They are personally demonic possessed. They have an actual personal demon in them, or more than one,
yeah,
for that matter. But let me tell you, everyone before they're quickened, everyone by nature walks according to what? The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We had something controlling us. But you know what?
Yeah.
The problem was, he didn't have to do this by force.
No.
He does this by enticement. He gives us what we want.
Exactly.
That's how bad we were. You see, Satan didn't have to get me to do, well, go over here and do this. No, I don't want to do that. No, Satan brings the temptation and said, boy, that'd be nice to do that.
Yeah.
Now, how do I do that and not get caught? Huh?
Exactly.
That's if you even think for a minute, you know. Somebody said, well, that ain't my state by nature. Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
God says it is whether you see it or not.
That's exactly
the problem. We're so dead, we don't see.
Yeah, exactly.
There is, and I've said, there is one thing a dead man can do. that's rot.
That's exactly it.
He can do that.
Yep.
He can rot and he can stink. But one thing a dead man can't do, that's move.
Exactly.
Right. Amen. Among whom also, he says, verse 3, we all had our conversation. That's not our manner of speech. Somebody's talking about your whole way of life.
Yes, sir.
Among whom also we all had our way of life in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now let me say, we were personally filled with wrath.
Yes, sir.
The wrath was not God's wrath towards us. It was our wrath toward everything else.
Yeah.
As Paul wrote to Titus, remember, we were hateful and hating one another.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
We were out for old numero uno.
Yes, sir.
Even when we tried to do the best for our kids. Why? Was it out of pure, absolute integrity, and motives of great integrity? No, I'll look bad if I don't.
That's it.
Well, you know, somebody said, well, you're just afraid your kids won't succeed. No, I'm afraid. That's my problem is I'm afraid they will succeed.
Yeah.
Afraid they'll be caught up with this world.
Yeah.
Afraid they'll be enticed by the pleasures of this world, and that's all they will ever find satisfaction in. Mm-hmm. And the human nature not just can find satisfaction in it, it finds satisfaction in it and only in it. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, that sounds to me like it's not a pretty bad state. It's as bad as you can get, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
How could you get any worse?
Yeah.
The only way you could is by being a fallen angel.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only way you can get worse. And that's not necessarily worse in actions.
Mm-hmm.
That's just worse in hope.
Yeah.
Angels got no hope.
Amen.
Right?
Exactly.
The angels didn't fall in a substitute. They fell individually.
Yeah. Yes,
and they remain fallen. And there is no hope for them.
That's right.
According to, we find nowhere in Scripture that God ever purposed to save one fallen angel. He said he reserved them in chains of darkness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Man, is not man a self-centered creature?
Yes, sir.
Well, if God don't give everybody a chance, what about the angels? They are created beings who can suffer torment, right?
Yes, sir.
And that what those that were in this one man cried out concerning Christ, we know who you are, thou Holy One of God. Are you come to what? Torment us before our time?
Yeah.
Man's a self-righteous, self-loving creature, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
Well, to be thankful, God even was pleased to reveal himself to us. Let alone purpose to save even one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, what a glory. This God who created us, and he said we were very good, and we had to sin. Then we had to rebel.
Yes, sir.
We were set in a good, a very good place.
Yes, sir.
With all we ever needed, right? But what did we do? I got to have that one thing I ain't supposed to.
Yeah.
I'm going to have it. No, we live lives contrary to God and in conformity to Satan. Fifthly, as I said, we've committed capital crimes against God.
Yeah.
And that's something that's hard for me to remember. Oh, I can say it. You know, I can always remember to say that. But it's hard to remember in your actions that if you do something that is contrary to the person of God, it is a capital crime. Crime against God.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. We don't make mistakes. Well, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
We sin. We have sinned against God.
Amen.
Well, back to Psalm 51 again. Remember what the psalmist said before. He said, I was shaping in iniquity. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness.
Yes.
According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Now let me tell you, that's the only place you go find it.
Yeah.
Don't go looking for it in your actions.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, even our best actions are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
He says, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Let me tell you something. When a quickened person sins against God, they cannot just forget it. They cannot just put it off. Some people can do that. They can sin, the conscience kind of arises with guilt, and they somehow justify it, and the conscience is satisfied, or at least appeased.
Oh, yeah.
But let me tell you, for the believer, the more excuses you try to make up, the more justification you try to seek concerning that action, the worse it gets.
Amen, sir.
And the worse it gets. Now look at this. This next verse, against thee only, have I sinned.
Amen.
And done this evil in thy sight.
Amen.
You see, for the person who's been quickened, sin is a reality even when you don't get caught.
Yes, sir.
Even when nobody else around you knows about it.
Exactly.
You know, not only does God know about it,
yep,
but it was an offense against Him. Now, if you don't see sin that way, you've not been quickened.
Yeah.
You've not been quickened.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. I mean, Christ Jesus came into this world to save who?
Sinners.
And He lets them know they're sinners.
Yes, sir.
I mean, He doesn't convert us in ignorance.
No.
He converts us with the truth.
Yes, sir.
And what is the truth? I'm a sinner.
And
I've sinned against God. Not only I'm a sinner in Adam, but I've also committed my own acts.
Yes, sir.
I've also committed my own capital crimes against God.
That's it.
And remember what a capital crime is, don't you? It is punishable by death.
Amen. Exactly. That's it.
and the prophet, he didn't write, and the soul that sinneth really bad, it shall die. Right?
Quite.
He doesn't give a list of sins for which you will die.
No.
Well, does he?
Mm-mm.
Yes, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Amen.
According to Romans 6, verse 23, it says, the way, I think it's it. See, I may quote, let me turn to it, make sure I'm quoting it right. For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's something. I heard this on the radio the other day, and it happened to be Oliver B. Green. Now, he knows better now, I figure. One way or the other. I figure he does. I really don't know, though. That guy, the rich man that lifted up his eyes in hell,
yeah,
he knew some things, but he was still deceived, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Even then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You see, as a tree falls in the wood, so shall it lay. The man dies unrighteous, he'll remain unrighteous. If he dies deceived, he'll remain deceived for all eternity. So I might ought to quit saying that. He knows better now. But he might. I don't know. Well, you know what he said? The devil pays his wages for sin, and that's death. No, that's God's wages.
Yes, sir.
That's what God Almighty pays, because sin's not against the devil, sin's against God. And that's what he said. The devil's got his wages. It's death for sin. And I'm thinking, you idiot. That's right. That's an idiot.
Yes, sir. I missed the whole point.
For the wages of sin is death. Who's the one that pronounced the death? God did. Who's the one that brought about the sentence of that death? God did. Who's the one that's going to cast into the lake of fire? God will. The devil's going to be in there.
Exactly.
He ain't going to be doing anything but being tormented.
Yeah.
It says the smoke of his torment shall go up for what? Ever and ever.
Yeah.
No, for the wages of sin is death, but. And that's one of the best buts in the world right there.
Exactly.
Seriously. But the gift of God is eternal life through faith.
Yeah.
See what that says? No. It says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, yes. Will faith come? Yeah, it'll come. But it'll come as His gift.
Yeah.
It will be the Lord Jesus Christ who gives it to us. The whole point here is not faith, it's not repentance, it's not even regeneration, conversion. It's the person and work of Christ.
Amen.
And it says the gift of God. It doesn't say the offer of God.
No, that's right. That's exactly it.
And as is understood in our society, it doesn't say the gratuity of God.
Exactly.
Now that, as I told you before, that is a proper interpretation if you properly understand gratuity in the Greek sense of it.
Yeah.
But in our day, a gratuity is not a free gift. It's a tip, you know. God don't tip.
Exactly.
He gives gifts.
Amen.
And He gives gifts to people who were His enemies,
yeah,
not His friends.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
Well, that's what it goes on to say. It says we were actually blinded to the gospel of Christ. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, right? Actually blinded. It wasn't because we had some propensity toward the gospel. We were just like everybody else. We hated the gospel just like those people you talked about, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Because there was a time when I didn't have faith.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now we were blinded to the gospel of Christ, but even more, it says in Romans 8, verse 7 and 8, we were at enmity with God.
Yes, sir.
Now think about that. In other words, you know, there's two passages actually. Let me give them to you. Romans 8, 7 and 8, which says we were at enmity with God. Then Colossians 1, verse 21 says, we were the enemies of God.
Yes, sir.
But there, Paul defines it as this, being the enemies of God by wicked works.
Yeah.
The second one, Colossians 1, states the actions. Okay? Romans 8, verse 7 and 8, the enmity states our nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We did evil works because we are evil people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We do wicked works because we are wicked people.
Yes, sir.
We commit sins because we are sinners.
Exactly.
And that's something God ain't changed yet.
Yes. That's right.
Somebody says, I'm not wicked anymore. Yeah, you are.
Yes, sir.
In Adam you are. In yourself, you are. And the truth is, and I know all God's got to do is just remove His hand for a moment.
Exactly.
And you'll begin to see that.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever went to bed at night and dreamed something, you woke up in the morning and you knew you shouldn't have dreamed it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Sure.
Now, how are you going to help that?
Yeah.
How are you going to stop that?
Yeah.
I guess maybe find you a heavy enough drug, you just knock yourself out for the whole night. You know, I don't know. You know, where does that dream come from? Where does that evil in those dreams come from, Joe? It comes from right here in this old, sinful, Adamic Walter. That's where it comes from. He's still there.
Yes, sir.
He's still very much alive. He's still very much at enmity with God. And he's still very much an enemy of God. And he'll do wicked works the first chance he gets.
Yes, sir.
He will. But thank God we have a plea. Oh, people call excuse. You call it whatever you want. I know what it is.
Yeah.
It's a plea. A plea by the truth of God based upon the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Now let me take off my glasses so I can be sure and read this correctly. Romans chapter 7. Look at what it says now. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what? Still yet. When Paul wrote this, this is present tense when Paul wrote it.
Yes, sir.
But I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. If you're one of Christ, you have the right to say that.
Yes, sir.
If you're quickened by God, you have the right to say that. If not, you don't.
Exactly.
Look, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is what? That is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I used to do. Is that what he says? No, that I do. Evil. What do you mean? Evil. Right?
Yeah.
Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see a law in my members, or another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through what? What's the only? It's not faith. It's not obedience. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Right? That's what Paul, I'm trying to obey.
Exactly.
But I don't. I commit evil.
Yes, sir.
O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. My only hope is in Him.
Amen.
Do I want to stop sinning? Yeah, but I can't.
Exactly. That's it.
I'm talking about that in general terms. Now, is that an excuse for me to square and do whatever the flesh desires to do? No. We're to kill it, right?
Yeah.
We're to kill it. But it's there. It's always going to be there. You're always going to be fighting with it, and sometimes you're going to slip up. Sometimes you're going to miss the blade and hit the wrong thing. And that member's going to do what it was going to do. But look at what it says. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law. Now there is a way to serve the law. That's not by obeying it, but acknowledging what it says about me. By acknowledging its holiness. It says I'm corrupt. That's how you serve the law. He didn't say obey the law. He said serve the law. With my mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, now don't try to get any other answer. What's the only answer? But with the flesh, what? The law of sin. There is no condemnation to you if you're in Christ.
Amen.
That's what he says, right?
Yes, sir.
Somebody says that's a cop out. That's an excuse. No, that's grace.
Amen. That's it.
That's grace. It gives us the right to be that. To declare that, to say that, and David to hope in that. Right? Father, I pray that you bless us by thy truth, that you teach us, instruct us, guide us, and Lord, just give us that strength, that desire, and as your word says, that you, as we know you do, that you work in us both the will and to do of your good pleasure. I thank you in Christ's name.